On this episode of the Real Life Carry podcast, we're switching it up a little. Myself and Zabo are joined by two real life, below average golfers, but more importantly, avid podcast listeners. Zabo's carried for these two guests for years, and while they were in town, they asked if they could play a cameo on an episode. Why not, we thought. So step forward, Chris and Bob. The boys were here all the way from Texas, and were even kind enough to let us record this episode from a very special location. These country boys were an absolute pleasure, and we enjoyed hearing their golf and caddy stories. We thought an episode dedicated to listener mailbag questions would be a great way to get everyone involved and also keep things moving. If you have any questions, opinions or comments, please send them in on social media or via email. podcast@glorifieddonkey.com. If you are a listener and think that you would like to be a featured guest on an episode, please also get in touch. For now though, please sit back, grab a beer, and enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome to episode number 78 of the Real Life Carry podcast. We're at an undisclosed... We'll disclose it.
Yeah, Zabble. We should disclose it. We are at the infamous Woods Hole House at the big course, right on the big course. I'm very excited about this one. I've been looking forward to this one for a while, and we're here. We made it.
14th hole, Pebble Beach.
Yeah, that's it. The Woods Hole House. You wanna give them the background, or should I?
You go for it.
So the reason it's called Woods Hole is in the 2000 U.S. Open, Tiger Woods, with his enormous lead coming to this hole, had a little digestive issue, and we all know that Tiger has this huge fear of public restrooms, and he needed to go number two, and no better spot than right here in front of the 14th tee box. And he saw some patrons up on the deck and said, "Hey, could I use your bathroom?" And Tiger came in and took a big old dump, and Woods Hole was born.
Now, we mentioned in the last episode that we're going to actually have a couple of listeners. So we were actually joined by McCoppin, Chris McCoppin.
Yep.
That's all you got to say.
That's all I got to say.
That's all you got to say.
Pretty easy. I'm a listener, not a talker.
And Bob?
I'm a talker.
What's your last name, Bob?
And Burton.
Bob Burton.
Burton.
Like Richard Burton? guys, I've heard the story of Woods taking a dump here. They've never flushed. Is that right?
Yeah, it's still there. You go in there, they're still... Yeah, they haven't cleaned it. They flush, but it's still... There's still the residue.
Is that true? Yeah. Is that true?
No, ask them. They're here every year.
So this is a first kind of for the podcast. In episode or season one, last episode, we had Big Jack on. We actually have a couple of listeners who are joining us. So Chris and Bob, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Couple of listeners who I've caddied for years and years and years. So I'm very excited that, you know, Chris really dug the podcast when he found out that I was involved in it. And so does Bob. And I'm really excited that they're here and we're actually doing this.
This is fantastic. Yeah, so is. Boys, tell us, did they ever flush or is it still there?
No, it's
we don't use that room.
Yeah,
we don't
use that room.
That one. It's locked.
It's locked.
It says danger.
Yes,
on the outside. Okay, Zabo, carry stories. What's been happening this year or this week?
This year, I mean, there's a lot that been happening this year. Why don't we kick it off with something recent? We had just the other day, Mr. Chris McCoppin sitting here. I think, was that the best round of your life?
Yeah, it actually was
the best round of his life at the Wee course, the stepchild of Pebble Beach, we call it out here. He had the round of his life. He had four birdies on the front nine, and you've caddied for him, G, so you know what a feat that is.
All I'm gonna say is, who was taking score?
Zabo.
You were keeping score, Bob.
I kept score, but Zabo's very friendly. That's why he gets good business.
Hey, right. Bob, how many drinks did you have?
Four or five.
Okay, so as much as I know Zabo, I like him and love the guy.
I work for my players, buddy.
You're a cheat.
I am not a cheat. He had four birdies on the front nine, legit.
Really?
And he had a birdie.
The birdies were legit.
Five birdies on the day. The one on the seventh hole...
Yes.
He hit from like, I don't know, it was like probably 25, 30 feet, and it hung on the lip, and it was sitting there for a good 20 seconds. And I'm like, well, step up to it. I said, it's going to fall. I mean, we could see it teetering on the edge, and it dropped, and that was the second time on the front nine he went back to back. He shot 34, which is one under on the front nine. He was under par.
Outstanding.
Yeah. It was incredible.
I've never
Never shot even par on a nine.
And then I saw
well, and that's one of my goals.
Well, you still haven't.
I know.
Yeah, exactly. I actually have it. I was wondering.
Exactly. So. And he backed it up with a 41 on the back. So he shot 75. It was awesome. Yeah, I mean, and then I caddy for him today, and he probably, if he was keeping legit score, he probably didn't break 110.
Yeah. No, it was a fluke, let me tell you.
So put this in context. You boys are renting this house for a month?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Was the Motel 6 just too expensive? Or what happened?
Well, we've been doing this, what? We've been doing this for, Mike?
Since 07.
I mean, yeah.
07 was the first years. Year. And it was, it's interesting because it's evolved, because it used to be you could rent this house for a week. So they used to just get it for a week, sometimes 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's all we did.
And then they changed it where they had to get it for a month. You know, they changed the structure of the rental. So now it's been great for the last, I mean, 3 or 4 years. I mean, at the whole month of September, they come out.
It's the greatest view in the West Coast.
Yeah.
It is. Oh, bar four.
I mean, okay.
What do you think?
I'll take your word for it.
Well,
you're sitting right here. We're looking at it. You don't have to take my word for it. Just watch.
Well, you see it all the time. Yeah. We don't. It's awesome.
We do see it all the time. So we're used to it. Zabo, anything else? And you've just been working for these clowns?
It's been 3 weeks. This is what my September looks like. It's hanging out with these guys and working for them.
It's funny you say, so Chris has been up here for, 3 weeks now?
Yeah, I got here September the 1st. We got here September 1st.
You saw me on a loop last weekend. Beautiful loop, right? Meet these guys off the bench. I actually went to the bench for once.
This was when they just got into town, like the 1st of September?
No, this is this past weekend.
Gotcha.
And get a group of guys from LA, which is always somewhat lukewarm.
Yeah, but, it's hit or miss.
There were three great guys and one salty dude. And he was the caddy nightmare. He's the talker. He just talk. And like as much as I can talk, This guy just killed me. I'm probably like a +2 at talking.
Oh, at least.
This guy's a +12. And he was the caddy nightmare. And I was working with my mate called Charlie Parker.
Oh, yeah.
And I took a bunch of notes in my wee green book, as I always do.
So who was working for him? Were you working
Charlie's
for him?
Charlie's working
for him. Oh, Charlie's working for him. So it's even more fun for you to watch.
So he came up to the tee, or the first tee, and he says, "Oh, who's going to be with it?" And I just went, "Nah,
not me."
I knew straight away. I'm like, "No, I'm going to take this guy."
This is my bag over here.
Oh,
Gordon.
This is my bag.
It's I was pretty heavy, but I think you're a big guy.
He's got his name on it.
Oh, geez.
Straight away, so I'm like, "Nah, geez. Not for me." Now it started off with head covers. He takes off the hybrid 5. No, it's not for me. No, throws it in the ground. I'll take the hybrid 4. No, takes it off, throws it in the ground, and Charlie, poor man's. He's putting his hand out. He's got his hand out to take the
hand it to me, buddy.
That might happen in LA, but not up here.
Yeah.
He actually called me out on a read on number 6 green.
And you weren't even working
for him? I wasn't even working for him.
He was calling you out for like a read you gave to another player? Was it a bad read?
To someone he's playing against.
Was it a bad read? Or?
It was a half decent read.
Pretty good for who it was for. Yeah.
Okay, what's a bad read? Wrong side of the hole.
Good point. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, wrong side of the hole.
Yeah. It was probably the right side of the hole. I mean, you know,
the read's fine. It's the player.
He's hardly a drone, right? He's not that pinpoint accurate. And
he's no Chris McCoppin, that's for sure.
No, he's not making back to back doubles, that's for sure. Sorry, back to back
birdies. Yeah.
Sorry.
Twice on 1-9.
Yeah. When I worked for Chris, it was back to back doubles.
Many times.
And how about this one? I was called Connor for the whole round.
Connor, you look kind of like a Connor.
I know. I played Connor McMulligan in the YouTube videos, right? But he called me Connor. At what point do you tell someone it's the wrong name?
That's happened to me numerous times.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Ever happened to you, Chris?
Yeah, some people call me the wrong names, but...
Do you correct them right away?
Sometimes you don't.
You just let them go with it.
And then I just answer to that.
I got to 17 and I said to my other player, I went, he's calling me Connor, huh? And he's like, yeah, he's done it all day. I went, well, what's the point?
Yeah, what's the point?
The guy's 75 years old, you know, let him go. The following day, actually, he said, I owe you extra money. I went, why is that? He said, I call you the wrong name.
Pay up, buddy. Yeah.
Pay up, then.
Exactly.
And we had another one. We have the stick in the group, right? On number 6 again.
This is the same group that
This is the same group, right? So it's like kind of stroking each other. So the guy, they're bumping everything. Like, I'm talking like way more bumping than Zabo would ever do.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah, that's hard to believe, yeah.
The guy actually said
very customer friendly.
Put it in a tee for him.
Yeah.
And I was like, actually, okay, I might. So the guy has a 3-wood at 6, par 5 up the hill, and they're all going, oh, it's on the green, eagle, eagle, eagle. And I'm looking at going, that's 50 yards short.
Yeah. Come on, bro.
He took a 6.
Thanks for coming out.
Great shot.
But I was good. I think the pièce de résistance was when I think I saw McCoppin up here. And we're down 9. And this guy, the one calling me out in the bad read, he takes a pee on the side of number 9. And Charlie comes up to me at 10, because I kind of saw it from a distance. And he was taking a pee, but he's from Hollywood, right? So I guess this kind of thing's acceptable.
Yeah, they pee anywhere out there, yeah.
He's got the willy hanging out, right? And he's actually peeing towards, not towards the ocean, but towards us.
No, that's not right.
And he starts wiggling his hips, staring at his caddy.
What?
And just
no way.
All kind of Bill Cosby stuff. I don't know, but it was good. Listen, great fun meeting people from Hollywood, getting the inside scoop on all the boys out there, like yeah. Bill Cosby and Harvey Weinstein. That's one of the beauties of our jobs, is kind of interviewing people.
Yeah,
on the
we
golf
hear
course.
Some things. Yeah,
some great stuff. You boys been out here for what, 2-3 weeks now? Play a lot of golf. You enjoyed it?
Oh yeah, no,
it's been great. I actually, because you play so much golf, I had to take a day off and let somebody else play.
And I will give you a shout out for that. He let me substitute for him, so I got to play golf with Bill McAdden, who makes this whole thing possible. Without him, we probably wouldn't be coming here. Who owns the company that comes out here?
Yeah. What? Where are you boys from?
From Dallas.
Dallas, Texas.
And we got to name the company. You know, we got to shout out your company, Southwestern Interiors. Now it changed from Southwestern Carpets.
What do you guys do?
We're
apart from bad golf.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Really bad at golf. We're somewhat good at flooring. We're a flooring and window coverings contractor. Okay. So new construction.
Oh, lovely. Okay. Yeah. So if you're in the Dallas area or Texas at all. Do you sell it in North Carolina or just Texas?
Just Texas.
Just Texas.
To actual home builders. So if you're a big home builder out there looking to take on a new flooring contractor.
And some bad golf. Give them a call.
And bad golf, right. But hey, you give them enough business, you might be coming to Pebble Beach.
Right. I mean, you could be here with us. Like the customers this month.
How long have you known Zabo?
14 years.
Yeah.
14?
Yeah.
Really?
Since I've been here. I mean, it was first year here. Wow. I met Chris. It's amazing the evolution of Chris McCoppin and his golf game, because when I met him, he was an awful golfer. I mean, he's not great now, but he was absolutely awful.
I'm just kidding.
I mean, I'm talking couldn't break 100 to save his life for years and years and years. And then he actually married a really good golfer, Division I college collegiate player. She's a really good player, and his game has just elevated. And now, all of a sudden, he's shooting 75 at courses out here, which is pretty impressive. It was, yes. I prefaced that. I said a nice young lady.
Yeah. Wow. Because 75 in the front of the back nine.
Yeah, exactly. It's usually on the front. But
What do you love about Zabo as a caddy, boys?
Well, Zabo's been doing it for so long. I mean, he's really he really helps us, because when we come out here and book all these tee times and everything, you know, basically, we book him, and then we send him to him the agenda. He sets up all the caddies, does everything that he needs to do. But also, he kind of, I mean, we usually put our customers with Mike, and, you know, he's really good at asking the questions like, what kind of customers are they fun? Can I cut up with them? Are they more serious? So actually, he kind of works for us now. It's almost he takes care of our customers just like we would. So it's pretty neat that he actually, he's good at organizing and helping us help our customers.
That's interesting you say that. You never actually touched on his caddy ability, which
Yes, he did. He said he's good at, he's mixing it up with the customers. I like to know what type of personalities they are. And actually, I'll tell you a funny story, because you caddied for Terry early in the month. You remember Terry, nice young lady from same company, Southwestern Interiors. Yeah,
lovely.
And you caddied for her, and then, you know, the next day her husband and his friends were coming into town, and she's like, you know, maybe you Mike should caddy for him, and you bring Matt with you too, because, you know, G's really good. He's not that gentle with people. We need somebody a little more gentle. It's like, yeah, you got a point there. You know, I'll take care of him.
That's why myself and Harvey Weinstein got on so well.
Exactly.
We were too gentle.
G just does it like it is. Zabo tells you what you want to hear.
Exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I've always said, you know, I grew up in a country where it's not snowflakes. It's like I told Bob today. I was working not for Bob, but in the same group, and I said I would rather under promise and over deliver.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Now Zabo would always over promise and over deliver.
Because I over deliver, I under promise and over deliver. You're right about that.
Because you're always up front kicking the ball out of bunker or something.
Oh, come on. Just because you lose every match your players play against mine, it's about your caddying ability, not about my cheating.
Fair play. Beautiful. Well, listen, what we're going to do, we're going to move on to this. We thought it would be a good idea to have a bunch of mailbag questions for this episode to bring Zabo, Bob, and Chris into this situation, listeners of the podcast. So that's coming now. People love carry stories. We're kind of passing that. We're going to do a big sort of section here on mailbag questions because it's all about listeners, and we're going to start with one. Okay, this is for you boys. What's the funniest thing you've ever seen on a golf course? This is from Ralph Jones in London, England. London. Boy. Wow. Oh, London. Can you do a London accent, boys? From Texas, can you do
it? Yes, I want to hear it.
I want to hear it.
Do your accent.
You got one?
Chris, come
on. I don't think I have one.
Yeah, seriously,
I got to think about this.
All right, London, mate. All right, how's it going, mate?
Oh, sounds like.
That's so bad.
Yeah. You're Midwest. They have no accent. That doesn't
work. I hear you. I'm not good at it either.
Let's hear yours.
No, I don't have one. We did this last episode. You should have listened.
Irish and Scottish. Come on. All right, mate. I'm from London. Yeah.
From London.
Let's hear your Texas accent.
Oh, he's got
Texas. Okay, what's the funniest thing that's ever happened you ever seen in a golf course? That's from Ralph Jones from London, England. There you go.
Not bad.
Funniest thing, boys, ever seen in a golf course. Come on, Chop.
The funniest thing you probably saw was like Sunday when I almost hit the lady.
Oh my gosh.
Bay. I mean,
I don't know. Funny, Bob. That was kind of scary for me. I thought somebody was going to die.
Go ahead. After she looked at me. And,
oh my God. I mean, but I'm talking.
Go ahead and explain that one. That was
right. Yeah.
Okay.
And I actually played a really. Every swing before that was great, but that might have been the worst swing ever, and we almost killed someone.
No, not we, you.
Yeah, no,
you,
yeah. We, you. My caddy.
Yeah. Okay. It was partly my fault. I gave you the wrong club.
Explain the story. Go for it.
So you tell me.
Yeah, come on, Bob.
I'll set it up. I'll put it on the tee for you, then you knock it out of the park. Yeah. So we're on the eighth hole at the Wee Wee course, the stepchild of the Wee course out here, and... Uh-huh. Bob's on a par three, and there's a road that's significantly right of the tee box. I'm talking like 30, 40, 60 yards right of our tee box.
What's Bob's handicap, by the way?
I mean, what does Bob say he is, or what is he really?
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm probably like a 13.
Yeah, that's what 13. Bob says he is, anyway, so Bob hits this shot, and I wouldn't really call it a shot. It was more of a shank, and it went straight right, and it went across the road, over the road, where in between a parked car and a lady who was just out for a little morning walk in the sunshine, right by her skull. I mean, she heard that thing coming by, went in between her and the car, almost killed her, and she's just looking around in circles, and then she gives Bob the stink eye.
Right, but I mean, I think there's signs out there that says if you're out here, you're at risk, right? I mean,
Bob, there's also signage on the scorecard that says if you damage anybody, kill somebody, it's on you.
No. Listen. Like, if you're going to walk next to a golf course,
be aware of the risk.
Beware of the risk.
But in her defense, it really wasn't that close to the golf course. But Bob was just so far off the course. I mean, it wasn't really that close.
Fair point.
Listen,
it was a straight shank.
If anyone knows what a shank is, Zabo would know what
a shank is.
Right.
That's true.
Well, and he gave me the club.
I did have my woes.
Chopper, what about yourself? Oh, by the way, so Chris McCoppin, his name is, but his nickname is Chopper.
Oh, yeah. Chopper. I don't even think I even know how you... How did you get that nickname?
Man, I've had that name since... middle school.
Oh, so it wasn't from golf?
No. It's just, I think the name, McCoppin's, McCoppin just slowly has changed to Chop. and just for short, so they just started calling me Chop.
It's funny because I always thought it was golf related because you were a Chop for the longest time. So I'm like, Chop, it makes sense.
He's I know, it doesn't, yeah.
You know, his wife
I think
calls
some
him
people.
Doppler Chop because he always is worried about the weather.
No.
So she even got him some golf balls and monogrammed it and said
Doppler Chop. Yeah.
Funniest thing that's ever happened in a golf course you've seen. Come on.
God, I got to think about this. I'm still, even when you're telling the story, I'm still thinking about it.
How about the salmon pink shorts you wore last week?
Oh, come on. Are you serious? I thought I looked pretty good in them.
Well, okay. You can't pull it off. I could have pulled it off. Zabel, what about yourself? Funniest thing you ever seen?
The funniest thing I ever saw?
Yeah.
I saw a guy on the first tee here take a header on purpose. He did a nosedive. He hit the tee shot. He was high on some substances. He asked for a caddy. And he didn't. He hit a tee shot, went right down the middle, took a header.
Really?
Yeah. And they pulled him off the course. And the caddy's standing there and like, okay, what happens? Do I get paid? And they're like, yeah, you get your base. Guy paid the base fee. They took him off the course.
Wow.
It's pretty funny. I was standing right there. Yeah.
Funniest thing I ever saw was probably either myself winging someone's 2-iron into the ocean off 18 or a guy completely piss himself.
That's a regular occurrence out here, yeah.
This
is a good one, yeah.
This guy soaked himself.
Just
drenched the whole lot. It was disgusting. I don't know if it is that funny, sad?
It's funny.
Disturbing?
Yeah. It's probably disturbing. And is this the story you told me yesterday when we were walking?
The one, yeah.
You told me that.
Shocking. We're going to move on. Next question. This is from Alex Krakik from DC. You don't seem to like many pro golfers. Can you name two you actually like? This is for everyone. So caddies, infamously, we do not like professional golfers. Okay, myself and Zabo hate golfers.
Most of them.
Have you guys had as golfers? You ever played in pro-ams or you have good?
No, but we like one of our favorites right now is Will Zalatoris.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, because he's a Dallas boy.
He is.
He's a Dallas boy.
Bent Tree in nice. Dallas. And then my favorite European is Ian Poulter.
Oh my God. I meant to tell you this, G. He was telling me how great Ian Poulter was a couple weeks ago, and he's telling me about his
Instagram. I didn't
think
it's great.
You're talking about his Instagram. I was like,
it is.
He doesn't understand how deep our hate runs for
him. That's fine. You can hate him. I mean, I'm
Poulty.
Yeah.
Poulty. He's such a bell end.
He really is. He's a bad person.
Like he's on Instagram shooting videos of Ferraris. I'm sorry, we don't want to see that. Some people are looking for jobs. Some people are unemployed. Some people are dying.
Dying.
You know what I mean? And he's on there. I cannot even think.
So,
go on.
It looks like I touched a nerve, so it looks like I picked the right guy.
he's not a fan of Poulty.
Yeah.
No.
That's fine.
He's a total bell end.
I didn't say I love him. I just actually I like the drama. I think the tour
misses what?
It's missing the drama.
I tell you him, he misses cuts, that's for sure.
Yeah, he is now, yeah.
Well, that's not fair because the question from Alex was
who are your
you like? Yeah, so that's not like. Fair for us to
you like him, that's fine.
That's fine. Okay.
Zalatoris, Poulter, what about you, Mick Hoppin?
I'd have to say Poulter too because I was the one that kind of got him going on it because I was like, you got to watch this. This is funny. Some of the stuff this guy is doing. So I liked it.
Okay.
You know, a lot of I'm kind of a Phil guy.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah,
I can take that.
I mean, there's something about it. I just like his game, and you know, I know somebody in my family that doesn't like him, but that's okay.
Phil who?
Mickelson.
Okay, that's right.
Okay.
Double checking that, right? Just never know. Okay, Poulter, Mickelson for you. Zabo, any two you actually like?
Not really.
Tiger.
I don't think he's... No, I don't like Tiger as a person. I appreciate his golf game.
Okay.
But I don't... I don't particularly like Tiger Woods.
What about your boy,
Kevin? I love Kevin Streelman, But you knew I was going to say that. You set me up for that, of course. Yeah, I like Streelman.
Yeah?
I do. How can you not like the guy? He's a super good guy. I know him personally. He's a good dude.
Do you think at some point in the future you guys might get married?
Would you stop? No, but maybe I'll caddy for him again.
You think so?
I don't know. We'll see.
I hope so.
Yeah, me too.
I hope he calls me next time. I won't make that same mistake at 16 you made.
Oh, come on.
Do you guys know that story?
No, but we would love to hear it.
Yeah. And okay, I'm sure you'll tell us.
I'd love to hear this too, because I know what really happened. You tell what you want to tell.
Okay, so 16 at Pebble, right? AT&T. There's very few pros hit driver off that tee. Okay.
And where did he put his driver to when he hit it?
He put it to 94 yards out.
In the middle of the fairway, correct?
Now, what you do at that hole is you leave up top, right?
Yeah, you leave yourself 150 to back right pin. That's a great shot.
145.
Yeah, right. 145 on the downslope. That's great.
And Zabel agrees to hit it driver. Then the guy makes double. He goes from...
Is that when
tied second
off?
Or something? Yeah, oh, yeah, big time.
He was tied second. He was one shot back of the lead. Yeah.
Tied second, so, you know. I think it cost us
some money too.
Caddy issue.
We had him on our
fantasy. I don't know why you got to bring up old shit, dude. I don't know why you got to bring up old shit. That's in the past. We've moved along.
For me, Lee Westwood.
Of course.
One of the greatest.
What about Rory? You love Rory.
And Sergio Garcia.
Oh, Sergio. Hmm. Come on. What about Rory? You don't love Rory?
I loved his greatest golf swing ever.
Yeah.
Greatest talent ever.
Greatest talent ever.
Yep. And just has not quite. Close the door yet?
Yeah, one day maybe.
When's the last time Rory McIlroy won a tournament? It was this past year.
He did, yeah. He did win this year.
Yeah. When's the last time he won a major?
2014 Hoylake.
Ooh, that's a long time ago.
Then he went to the big thing for him was he went to play football, five-a-side football, the week before the 2015 British Open at St Andrews, and he broke his ankle.
Right.
And ever since then, done.
Hmm.
I wouldn't say done, but
at least he's got an excuse.
Okay, we'll move on. What are the most annoying things golfers say after golf shots? And that comes from Jim Atwell, Woodburn, Oregon.
That's a good one, Jim.
What are the most annoying things golfers say after golf shots? Now, this is beautiful. This is the reason I called this episode Get Up, Get Down.
Bob, you look like you have some thoughts on this.
Bob's got plenty to talk about.
We said a lot of them today.
Yeah. You were saying them or other players in the group?
Of course. We talk to our golf ball a lot. It's got to, I mean, it definitely influences the end result.
Right? Of course.
Go on.
Oh. Yeah, explain. Yeah.
For me, getting the hole is the worst.
Getting the hole. Well, no. We're talking about golfers, amateur golfers, professional golfers, people. This is not fans talking to golfers. Golf balls.
This is golfers talking.
This is golfers.
Yeah. Oh, release.
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 Bite.
Yeah. Bite.
Bite. When it's in the air, 70 yards short, it's like, dude, you don't know if you hit that with spin or you sculled it. Like, don't talk to your ball like that.
Stay in the air. Stay in the air.
Get down. And it's like 50 yards short. And it's like, and the guy's yelling, get down. And it lands in the bunker short. You're like, yeah, good call, jackass.
It's down.
The one McCoppin, Chop, says is, not again, not in the bunker, not again.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so now I figured this out. Uh-huh. Now I figured out what this green book is.
Okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
This green book.
The little green book.
When he's caddying for you, you're walking and... I don't know if just something pops in his head or you say something, but he's up there next to the tee box and he pulls out his little green book, which he has in his hand right now, and then he starts writing stuff down. So I don't know if that's good or bad.
He's always taking notes.
It's not quite green. It's more teal.
Okay.
Yeah.
A man that wears salmon pink shorts should know the difference between green and teal.
That's just not... The color doesn't look good on me.
Things you do and things you say, Chris, are always... Anyone says gets put in the little green book, the teal book.
There you
book.
Go. I'm glad I made it.
What's another thing? It's a slight interaction. We'll go back to this, but Zabel, would you not say that Chop is one of the most negative golfers you've ever
come
across?
He gets very down on himself. Easy. Oh. But it's funny because
I don't have the head gear.
You're a mental midget. We've talked about
this. I'm
you are
a mental
midget on the golf course. When your driver starts going off, it's like game over, dude. Yeah. If his driver's not in play, he can't score. I mean, he hits it out of play and it's like done. But, you know, that's why it's fun to see him play well, because he's a different chopper when he's playing well.
So you boys as amateur golfers, right, you've had caddies, luckily enough, have, you know,
the greatest caddy. Well,
a decent caddy and a wonderful caddy.
Well, no, elite.
Yes.
Yes.
Elite. Please explain.
Well, if you get Gordon, you got an elite caddy. And he will let you. Yes, he will let you know that you have an elite caddy.
If you didn't know he was elite, just ask.
An elite caddy is the kind of guy that on a 17th green, when the player is drunk and doesn't have his phone, and he has to call the pizzas in. The elite caddy makes sure that the pizzas turn up.
Oh, so that's how we got our food last night.
Yes.
The elite caddy stepped up, texted the other.
He handed it off to another elite caddy.
Yeah, decent caddy.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, no. I'm only.
No, boys.
I was only going by what he says.
So, do you feel as if does a cad can a caddy help you get out of that rut
yes.
that you guys yeah. get into as amateur golfers?
100%. Love it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Give some examples.
Well, yeah. I'm kind of a speed golfer. I get up there and address it and hit it, but I've been working on it.
Mm-hmm.
G has me backing off, lining the shot up, and being a little bit more patient.
It's called mm-hmm. a pre-shot routine.
Yeah, it's called a pre-shot routine.
Yep. Yes. I feel like it's like you know you're going to something you want to do, and then they tell you, no, this is what you need to do.
Yeah.
And then you do it, and you're like, wow. And so the confidence is just like,
most of the time you do it. We'll get to that later, Bob. Yeah. Most of the time you listen, but yeah.
Yeah, we don't listen. We don't execute necessarily.
Yeah, that's the word, it's execute.
Just, yes. But like today with fish, same thing that you do for me. It's like, let's just manage this.
Yeah.
Let's not try to be a hero. Let's just manage this.
Are you talking about golf or other things?
Life.
We are life coaches.
Yeah. You boys disappeared to the bathroom for at least 10 minutes. I don't know.
Yeah, Steven was with us.
So going back to what was the question? Annoying things golfers say.
We've covered a lot of them.
Yeah. No, we haven't covered many things. Well, get in the hole.
Get in the hole is the word you demand. But fin. That's a fan talking to the...
Get legs.
Get legs.
Yeah, and how about the golfers on the greens when they hit putts? Oh, I pushed it. I pulled it. And then they're like, I pushed it and he missed it like 2 feet left. It's like, no, you pulled that. You went left of the hole. That means you pulled it. You didn't push it. Like just people talking to their ball.
I love it when I'm caddying for someone and they go, get up. And I'm going, get down.
I know. Because we always know. They have no clue. They're like, no clue. I hate that.
Where'd that go?
Yeah.
They're like, well, it bounced back in. I said to Bob today, I said, listen, 27 years caddying, 34, 5 years playing golf. Doesn't matter. Yeah. There's not one ball. Don't talk to the ball. Yeah. Just say nothing. You know, it's like Zabo saying, chipping a putt.
Oh, no, get out of here.
No, I'm serious.
When your green side, hey, when your chopper and your chipping game has been elevated to the state his chipping game has, you do say chipping a putt because how many up and downs have you made in the last couple of weeks working on our chipping?
Yeah.
A whole bunch.
And working on our chipping.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
We're a team here, yes, Gordon. It's not just him. I helped him significantly on his chipping. You should see.
And it was you helped chipping. Me on my pre routine.
Yeah.
And he has helped me.
This
on
guy
my
has
chipping
gotten up and down more times in the last week than I've seen him in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a joke there somewhere.
Well, again, the joke is Zabo's always got the card. He's always got the scorecard,
no,
and the pencil.
Zabo hasn't
You're
had the
cheat.
Card the last
You're
three rounds.
You're a cheat, Zabo.
And I'm a cheat.
I'll tell you another thing as well. Another caddy to it, Fisher. Right, Josh Fisher told me yesterday that he was playing with a golfer he caddies for in a match, and they're on the wee course on 18, and his player is behind his golfer who you're caddying for is
correct.
behind a tree.
Correct.
Fisher's down the middle.
Correct.
And you kick it out 10 feet, and the guy gets up and down.
No. That is correct. I will own this one because I definitely cheated on this one. I cost Fish a lot of money. This guy was like 190 yards out, and he's not that good of a golfer, and he was stymied behind a tree. I mean, had no shot. I kicked it out. I fluffed it up for him. I do not cheat that often. I don't. Gordon claims
but
I
do. But when I do,
my
well.
I do. My best round ever is just starting to, starting to
chop.
Go
that
like
was legit.
80.
Trust me. That was legit. I was out in front a few times, but that was legit. Anyway, so I put this guy, he's 190 out. He hasn't hit a 190-yard shot well the last 10 years of his life. And he stripes this like 5-wood, and he puts it to about 2 feet for a tap and birdie. And he was stymied behind a tree. It was, I felt bad for Fish. It cost him like $100.
We talked about that a while back, about how caddies cheat for players. And it's the first time I ever caddied in the European Tour, the first tournament, my player was in the semi-rough. And I went to kick it out.
Because you're so
used to
it.
Kicking it out. There was one that came to me at the wee course, the 11th hole. I'm doing a single, which I don't do many singles, but guys from Austin Country Club, right? I won't mention his name because I don't want to destroy his life. He hits it in the trees, way right, like way right. Boondie, yeah, gone.
Dead.
And I go up there, of course, we're up front at 11. And I don't know if I kicked it or threw it, right? But this this thing went 65 yards back into play. It's about 155 yards out. And he hits a 6-iron up to 2 inches.
Oh, cap and eagle.
Holds a putt for an eagle. And he's like, oh, he's texting all his buddies.
Like, oh, you never told him to, did you?
Never told him.
Yeah, of course not.
That's my job.
I have the video of him actually tapping it in for an eagle.
That's awesome.
But yeah, no, I'll be honest with you. Talking to golf balls, waste of time.
It is. It that doesn't accomplish anything.
Nothing.
But we're not going to
put that in my memory for the rest of the next couple of weeks.
I wonder how many that all those birdies you had. When you have a birdie, it's hard for a caddy to screw with that, actually. So
he was right next. He had 4 birdies on the front nine. He legitimately had 4 birdies.
Okay, next one's from Jack Harris from Wichita, Kansas.
Ah, Wichita.
Wichita. He says, you ever not shouted 4 and regretted it? Bob?
Sunday with the lady on the road.
But in your defense, she probably wouldn't have understood.
No, well, she wouldn't have.
Look out!
Yeah.
The wind.
The wind and the ocean. That she wouldn't have heard, but I did regret it.
We once had one off of 18 in the big course, and there was a very, very, very large woman walking down the path in the cart path on the right-hand side. And the wind's humming, right? It's about a 4-club wind. And
Enters. Yeah, so.
And the guy hits it. It's going left, right. And there's no point in shouting 4, right? Because you can't.
Yeah.
I saw the ball hit her shoulder and ricochet back into play. And she kept on moving.
She didn't flinch.
Didn't
even feel it.
She was that big.
Wow. It's impressive. Well, did you thank her for the assist?
I walked up to her and was like, I was about to say I'm really sorry. And she was, good morning. I was like, did you get hit by a ball? And she's like, huh? Yeah, what? Didn't even feel it.
No harm, no foul.
Yeah. Any situations where you've never shouted 4 and get into a fight, maybe? I think that's probably pertaining to...
Have you ever seen any fights on the golf course?
Yeah.
Anybody like no, getting hit into?
Never have.
Back in Texas? And you ever seen any fights in Texas?
Nope.
No? Only in bars?
People get fired up, but slow play is the worst. So people want to hit into the next group. That's our, it's like, I'm just going to hit it, show them a message, and then they top it and hit it like 20 yards.
That's always the, I've said that for a long time. Everyone's an asshole from 150 yards on the golf course.
Yeah.
And then you find
especially
out,
on the golf course,
you find out they actually went to Notre Dame. Oh, alumni man, you want a beer?
Alumni man.
Probably a couple of times I've never not shouted 4 and I should have.
Yeah.
But sometimes you shout 4 and people walk into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen it 3 occasions.
Yeah. It's almost worse when they look up when you.
Yeah, yell. Exactly. Exactly. Right. If you see it going right for them or it's going to just miss them,
Have you boys ever seen anyone get hit by a ball?
Actually, I have.
Where?
At my course, Oakmont, back in Corinth.
Oakmont? Corinth.
Yeah.
In Texas.
Mo got hit?
Yeah, I was playing with Mo.
Oh, God. We haven't even talked about Mo yet.
Oh, what a piece of work he is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
7 wedges.
7 wedges. That's crazy.
We'll digress. McCoppin brings out one of his buddies here last week.
Oh, my God, Mo.
And this guy's kind of, he seems a little bit slow. Okay, but he's just kind of...
He's from Texas.
He's a hick. Nice guy, lad. But I look at his bag, and he's got 14 clubs.
Yeah.
And including the pitching wedge, he has 7 wedges.
Yeah, and it's funny, because I caddied for him the next day, and I was like, I knew you caddied for him the day before. I'm like, oh, man, G screwed this all up. He's got wedges all mixed up. I'm like, Mo, you got 7 wedges here. And he's like, yeah, I carry 7 wedges. I'm like, well, you got a... 46, you got 48, 50, 52, 54, 56.
64.
You're missing a 58. I was like, you got a 60, but you got a gap here, Mo. I was like, what's going on? We need to add an extra wedge. I'm like, 7 wedges. That's insane.
Yeah. I've never seen that in my life.
And he told me, he said, every wedge has a purpose.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, God, here
we
go.
He still hasn't.
But he's a decent player. I mean, I can get him around.
Yeah, but Mo still hasn't worked out what all those purposes are for those wedges.
True. He doesn't need seven wedges.
Next question, lads. Things players do that annoy caddies. That's from Rod Taylor. And that's from Naperville, Illinois.
Naperville.
So things players do that annoy caddies.
Well, I mean, we really can't bring these guys in for that, but I could probably speak to this. Bob Burton, please step to the microphone.
Okay.
I want to reminisce about a few days. Things players do that annoy caddies. Mm-hmm. They don't listen to their caddy. When their caddy tells them to hit a club, and the caddy knows their game better than they do, probably after the first four holes. I've known Bob for many years, and we're on the fourth hole at the Wii course, and I say, Bob, here, let's just hit this hybrid out there. We'll have a nice little short iron in, and Bob says, no, give me the driver, and what does he do? He pulls it off into the weeds, and Bob then proceeds to chip out and stick one to about, I don't know, 15, 20 feet, and then he holds the putt, and Bob's like, yeah, yeah, par, par, this is great. I said, yeah, but if you listened to your caddy, it would have been birdie.
Uh-huh. Fair enough.
Just not listening to your caddy. Yeah. I mean, that nothing drives me crazier than people pulling the wrong clubs when they have no clue. Mm-hmm. I know what club you should hit. You should know what club you should hit, and it's not that club.
The thing that annoys me the most is not being proactive when you have a caddy. So yesterday, Fisher, who this guy called Mike in your group, he said, River. I went, River? He's like, well, your buddy, what does he go by, River? I was like, no.
Fisher.
His name's Fish. He's like, well, River, Fish, same. I was like, okay.
Fish swim in a river, yeah.
How many vodkas had they had?
They were only a couple by that point. But these guys went so far left and right. There was no...
proactive, grab a couple clubs.
Grab a couple. Yeah, yeah. And as the day went on, and I actually offered River, by the last few holes, I was like, I'll take a bag to go right flank and you go left flank. It's like, I know, I'm over it. But they just didn't get it to go, I'll take two or three clubs. And
yeah, that's a common occurrence.
Wait,
yeah.
When you miss the fairway by 250 yards, grab a couple of clubs and just go hiking yourself.
Exactly.
I can't stand that.
I don't need to go with you and say, okay, you have 387 yards. This is what you should hit. Hit your hybrid.
Yeah, that's true.
There.
Yeah.
What's more annoying? This is from my brother, Kenny.
Okay.
Right? Players not repairing pitch marks or divots.
Pitch marks for me. I mean, I see it. Most players repair their divots. I mean, I notice most players repair their divots.
I always wait for the player to repair the divot. That's not kind of the thing I want to do, but...
Yeah. When you're humping two bags, you don't have time to really replace divots. I mean, you really don't. You have time to fix pitch marks, but when they walk by pitch marks and don't even reach down.
Shocking. Yeah. Absolutely shocking. Yeah. But today, we had a guy called Grant, Big Grant.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting character.
He is, to say the least.
I think he's tied up right now because we didn't want him getting
too
close.
He wanted to be involved. He was sitting behind a microphone. We're like, get the picture, get out of here.
He was drinking too much today. He was drinking too much yesterday to be on the podcast today, and he kept on topping up. But I looked at him. I was like, I guess I'll repair your pitch mark.
And what did he say?
Oh, thanks.
Okay, thanks. Well, so, you know, honestly, sometimes I like fixing them when you see him fixing them improperly, when you see people just like, they jam it in there and then they push back and they're fixing them improperly. It's like, you know what? I'll just take care of that.
Boys, from your point of view, pitch marks or divots, what's the biggest issue in your opinion?
I'd say the pitch mark.
But you never hit greens for that to really follow you.
Right, yeah.
He was the other day.
Wow. But he walks up to a lot of greens.
I was going to say, doesn't hit many fairways for divots either, so...
I can't stand you're playing like back home and you're playing on a private course and there's all these pitch marks and you're just kind of like, you can't take care of your own course.
Yeah, exactly.
As a member, you know?
Yeah.
No case.
Listen, it's always the people that complain about slow play who are slowest. It's always the people that don't repair the pitch marks who complain about pitch marks. It's always the people that don't rate the bunkers that complain about rakes.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Are we talking about Bryson?
No, we're talking about LA.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Sorry, people from Los Angeles. But, you know, LA. There's two types of LA, and we all know what we're talking about there. Next one. This is from Doug Leader from Conroe, Texas. Is that right?
Conroe.
Doug Leader from Conroe, Texas. What are the top three courses you've ever played?
Bob?
Spyglass is one of my favorite courses of all time.
Attaboy.
Martis Camp.
Where's that?
Tahoe.
Okay.
And actually, probably my third favorite is also in Tahoe, is Old Greenwood.
Yeah. So he's gone three California courses.
Wow. Just wow.
There's a lot of listeners not from the States, or maybe even from the East Coast, or even from the whole country. Lake Tahoe, that's in California. So yep. You get two from there. Give us again. Spyglass Hill,
Martis Camp, which is a private course right there in Tahoe, and then Old Greenwood, which anybody can play. It is.
Anyone can play. I love that. Yeah. One's a private course. Anyone can play it.
I'm sorry. Sorry to be a jerk.
Okay. Chopper, what's your top three courses?
I'll tell you what. I think Spyglass Hill, I mean, you just can't beat that.
I mean, you can.
Well, number
one. No, you can't.
I think the number one hole is my favorite hole in golf. I just love it for some reason. Can't play it well, but I just love it. Then Mayakoba was fun when I was down in Cancun. Played that a few times.
Cancun, is that in Mexico?
Mexico.
Isn't that where El Tucan caddy?
That's it? That's it, El Tucan?
Yes, that's true. Yeah. And the third one. I've had a chance to play Colonial, and that was a lot of fun.
Colonial, that's in Texas.
Yep, over in Fort Worth.
Lot of tournaments here. Well-known course.
It's a well-known course.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ben Hogan.
Oh, who's he? Yep.
Just average golfer.
Was that Hulk Hogan's dad? Is that right?
Yeah, I think he's his cousin. Yeah,
but, okay.
Yeah.
Zabo, top three courses?
Well, Spyglass. I got to put Spyglass up at number one. Boston Golf Club at number two, and in Hingham, Massachusetts, Gilhan's course. And then number three, I'd put Kings Barnes in Scotland. I really enjoy Kings Barnes.
Interesting.
And I could probably give you yours if you want me to give you yours too, but go ahead with yours, because I know what's number one and I know what's number two. Turnberry's number one.
Okay, you know what? We're going to move on to the next question.
Go ahead. He asked, what are your favorite
courses? What are
your top three? No. That's not fair. We're going to move on. Boys, have you or any of your friends ever shit yourself in the golf course?
Should we say yes?
You can admit it.
Hey, no. Listen, it's not. Listen, I was once, I've probably told this story before. I was 21. I was working as a greenkeeper at Turnberry, and I left the house at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I was walking down to get my lift to the course, and I went to fart and I shot myself. So I had to run back up the road, wake my mother up, and say, "Listen," and she's like, "What's going on?"
You told your mom?
No, I locked the door.
Oh,
so she's in the house. And she's like, "What's up?" I was like, "I shit myself. I got to change my trousers and my pants."
And you had to explain to your mom?
So, yeah, listen, these things happen.
They do.
I told this joke today, guys, right? This is a great joke, okay? Anyone out there can use this. What's the smartest muscle in your body?
The smartest?
Yeah, Zabo. What's the smartest muscle in your body? Your asshole. You know why?
Why?
Because it can tell the difference between a solid, a liquid, and a gas.
Good point. Wow.
Brilliant. So on that
smart, yeah.
On that
scientific that muscle is.
He told me earlier on. Scientific. I'm the guy that yelled asshole on a podcast.
So I'm just saying, listen, I have to tick the box that says explicit. But, you know, it happens. So either you guys ever, you know, sharted or done something?
No, I've, you know, had to say, hey.
Hey now.
Red alert.
Yeah, you know, I need to borrow the cart, take the bag off.
It's go time.
Yeah, I got to go use the restroom, but that's about as far as I've had as an emergency.
Yeah, Bob? Well,
I actually almost peed on the way in the car on the way back from the hay today, so I'm pretty sure we drank quite a bit during the, what did we play, 27 today?
Yeah,
27. Nice. I mean, it's a long drive from the hay to the Woods Hole house.
When you're telling me to hurry up and I'm not even in your car.
Any hole in ones for you boys?
Yeah, I have one.
Where at?
Stream Song, number 7, wow. Signature hole.
Recently? Okay. Must have been
2016.
Wow. 2016. How many courses at Stream Song?
I think there's 3 now, right? Yeah. Okay. When we went there, there was 2. It was like blue and the black or something like that. Now they've got another. I mean, so it was built on old phosphate. Or phosphate mine. I don't even know how to say the
a phosphate mine.
Yeah, mine. Yeah, and right. It drains unbelievable.
Yeah,
yeah. So, yeah. Okay. 186 yards, in case you're asking.
186.
Wow. Yeah. What club?
6 iron, actually.
Wow. Was it straight downwind or?
Yeah. Zabo, I hate you.
Yeah. I love you, Bob.
Chopper.
Yep, I've had 1.
Where?
At Oakmont.
Oh yeah.
Back home.
No, that's Oakmont, Texas.
You're right.
That's his home course, yeah. And it was a temporary green from 180, like from 80 yards.
In? I actually did not see it go in.
Was Zabo carrying for you?
I knew it. Were you teeing this up?
I standing right by the green. I'm like, oh, great. It went in.
Zabo? Full ones?
I have not had one. No,
no way.
I know.
Really?
I know.
He's like, he and I, same thing.
You haven't either?
Never. No.
Crazy.
No.
We don't play enough golf.
One question we had in the last episode, does a hole in one count on a par 3 course? Yes or no?
I think no.
Correct. Chop. Come on.
Well, because I have difficulty, I guess, hitting greens and fairways, and if I hit one, I'd probably
count it.
Yeah. So does the caddy Matty.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's because he had 2 within a week there, but yeah.
Okay. So I would have to say no. Boys, have you ever been kicked out of a tournament?
Ooh.
This is going back to now this new rule that you can't say Brooksy, apparently. Brooksy.
Yeah, you can't say Brooksy.
Oh, as a fan, have I ever been kicked out of one?
Or a player, have you been kicked out?
Or anything?
No. I don't think so.
I have.
You ever been kicked out of a bar?
Oh, for sure. Actually, our good friend Mike Fernie, who's here with us on this trip, has actually threw a $5 bill at someone across the room one time, and thinking that somehow that would help with whatever we were trying to accomplish, and all of us got thrown out of the bar. That guy and everybody you're with, you're out of here.
Now.
And then we're back on the street, so we started over again in the next bar. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Chopper, you wanted to add in the funniest thing that you've seen in a golf course. Tell us.
Oh, yeah. You had a Robert Dameron story, right?
Oh, well, yeah. It was so back in several years ago.
1938.
Yeah. Not that old.
Back in the day.
And anyway, I was actually caddying for one of our customers who I guess, sponsored in a pro-am, and it was the Byron Nelson. And it was back when it was played at Las Colinas, TPC. And so typically there's rather attractive women out there, and I think everybody just went out there just to meet people. I mean, it was like a big party.
It was like yeah. Tinder.
Yeah, yeah. Golf exactly. Tinder. It was a golf Tinder. And well, the big pavilion like was just a party.
Yeah.
Looking for love.
And so we were just walking there and small talking with Robert, and he was talking about how, you know, this tournament, and I think there was one other one. It might have been in Phoenix, the Waste Management or something that everybody wants to play in. And, you know, we were walking, and he's, you know, I'm just sitting there talking to him, and I'm like, well, why does everybody want to play in this one? And he kind of looks over to the right, and along the side of the ropes, there were probably about 8 or 9 very attractive women.
With some enhancements,
plastic surgery. And he just looked at me all seriously and said, right there is the reason why we all like to play here. And he just kept walking on right down the thing. I was like, okay, I guess that's it.
And those 5 people weren't his wife?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Final question, boys. What's the most annoying thing you see golfers do, professionals and amateurs? That's from Charlie Jones in Las Vegas. The most annoying things you see golfers do, pros and amateurs.
Most annoying.
I'll kick off. Okay. I'll kick off.
You got like 16 things you want to say here.
You got
where do we begin? What happened today? What was that happened today?
I would say there's about 15 things between walking up to the first tee and the 18th green today, but I'll kick off. How about folding the glove? See that?
Folding?
So when professional golfers hit a shot and then they take the glove off and they put the Velcro back on and they fold it perfectly and they put it in their back pocket in their trousers, that I despise that.
What? Why does that offend you?
I don't know.
It just bothers you.
There's obviously such. I've got a situation, a series of issues.
Like nails on a truck chalkboard. It just bothers you.
I take my glove off and I shove it in my pocket.
But yeah, I hear you.
They fold it up as if it's like ironed and they put it.
Yeah, I can see
perfectly.
That. That's kind of ridiculous. Yeah, why would you do that?
And then what happens is amateurs do it, and
yeah.
you'll start.
Yeah, saying, yeah, yeah.
You know, Johnny Hack hits a green. He's hit one out of 14 greens, and all of a sudden he takes it out, and he's
That does kind of bother.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
the
you,
same
Pavel.
Thing. The same thing with the because you mentioned that like I don't know, it was 5 or 6 months ago with the guys like they pull up their sleeves before they putt and they like tuck their arms into the sleeves. I've noticed some amateurs doing that. That drives me nuts.
Well, okay,
like,
Patrick,
why are you pulling up your short
Reed, yeah. Arm thing?
Yeah. Don't pull up
drives
your sleeves.
Me crazy. Yeah. I hate that.
How about when someone pulls their trouser leg up to pull a ball out the hole?
Oh my god, yeah,
kills me.
Yeah.
Or how about how about this one? The one I hate. Right, anyone that I've ever caddied for or played golf with will know I never take my hat off to shake your hand.
You don't?
No. Wow. I think it's the worst.
Really?
It's the worst thing golf ever has. I don't understand
where it comes from. That's just proper etiquette, dude.
No, but Big Tony will tell us where the etiquette comes from. But
I'm sure he will.
It's
but
like
that's,
if you watch,
what's done.
If you watch professional golf, they take the hat off, they take their right hand or the left hand, and they start rubbing the oil off their
hair. That's true. That's
right?
Disgusting.
And then it's like, shake my hand, and that's it.
So you never take your hat off when you shake hands?
Never. Yeah. I actually make a point of not doing it anymore.
Well, good for you.
Chopper?
Probably one of the, you know, when the guy's like, and yes, I've done this too, thinking that I'm going to reach the green or something way out there.
You're waiting. I don't believe that.
And you wait and wait and wait, and then you just try to kill it, and then it goes, you top it, and it goes like 60 yards, and you've been waiting this entire time.
That's another beautiful situation where everyone's an asshole from 250 to 208 yards is when you're a par 5.
Oh, God.
And you're waiting, and you're going, oh, this asshole's going for it. Oh, he ain't going to go there.
He hit it 220 off the tee. Now he thinks he's going to hit 260. Like, he's 260 out. He just hit it 220. Yeah, he's got that shot.
I love that.
Yeah. Look at this idiot. Yeah.
Bob, what annoys you about pros and ams or things they do? Shooting the ball, that's number one.
What I can't stand about professional golf right now, honestly, is that we're too pretty. We can't. No, no one's allowed to criticize anyone. No one's allowed to.
I'm with you.
Yeah,
I mean, with you.
It's become like this kind of fraternity that if you're in. If you're not, you're not. And
corporate.
Yeah. Yep. Can't stand it. It drives me crazy. It's like it is a sport, and if you're not playing well, someone should tell you you're not playing
exactly.
Well.
Exactly.
Right. Oh, it's the whole Ian Baker Finch. All right, there's a Patrick Reed there. His lovely wife there.
Two German Shepherds.
Yeah, he actually went to Barbados on holiday there for a couple of weeks. And come on, Ian Baker Finch. The guy cheated.
Yeah, he's a
piece
of garbage.
Cheated.
Yeah.
Right. And by the way, Ian, the only reason you're announcing is because you're totally flamed out.
Oh, wow.
True. Oh, wow. Gloves are off. Yes.
Bold. So,
I agree with you, but Ian Poulter should be in the same boat. If we're going to rag
that's
on
fine,
Ian Baker
but my
Finch,
point is call someone out on something. There's no call outs in golf.
There's not.
None.
Right. You're right.
Zabel.
What's the question?
Good call. Most annoying things you see golfers do, professionals and amateurs.
Well, let's go to the amateur side, because the most annoying thing I do is when somebody says, move that mark. You see these amateurs when they say, oh, could you move that one left? They take their putter and they lay their putter across the mark and they move it like a full putter length, like 35 inches. You know, and he meant one putter head, not the whole length of the putter. That drives me nuts. I see that at least twice a month.
One thing I forgot, actually, from Charlie, the loop. I'm just looking at my teal notebook.
Very teal.
We're working off 9, okay? Now, caddies always want to go forward. Okay, that's, well, not me personally, right? But a lot of caddies want to go forward and spot the balls and blah, blah, blah.
Of course, yeah.
So on the ninth hole, big course, we're down the cart path.
And this is the same hole that the incident happened with the guy was
with his pecker out.
Yeah, yeah.
We're about 100 yards up the road, so we're trying to get ahead, and we're talking about it, right? We're going to do this job tomorrow, and blah, blah, blah. And this guy goes, we'll call him Fred, okay? His name wasn't Fred.
Yeah.
Disclaimer. So three people have teed off. Fred's number three. Got one more to tee off. We're about to head off. And Fred goes, hey, Charlie, wait, don't worry. Come back.
I need you.
And I'm thinking, oh, the way he's saying it, you're thinking, oh, he needs like an Alka-Seltzer or maybe
he's got something in his bag and he needs an EpiPen.
An insulin shot or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Of and course. He goes, I need to change my hat.
Like, there's too much sun. I don't have my sunblock on. I need this new hat.
So he takes a cap off to put on like a bucket hat. And I'm thinking, I said to Charlie, I says, you joking me, mate. Yeah, you couldn't have waited. You know,
that's such an LA thing to do.
Yeah. 190 yards. Yeah. You couldn't wait because that's how far the drive
went. You needed it now. Give it to me 190. Now, yeah. You need to walk back to me.
Yeah, it wasn't Bryson like 400 down. Yeah. It was 190. Yeah. You couldn't wait that long.
Yeah.
So absolutely brutal. So excellent. Boys, anything else to add? I think we're coming to the end of the episode here.
Well, it's been a good day.
No, it's been fun. Thank you, guys. It was
you enjoyed being awesome. On?
Yeah, it's an experience.
Uh-huh.
In the beginning, it's kind of nervous. Yeah. You know, you don't want to really say much, but now kind of getting the groove.
Yeah, boom. Kind of like your golf game. You don't do much. You don't say much.
We'll probably come out to Texas and do another one. Sorry. We'll come out to Texas and do another episode.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, listen, Chopper, thank you so much for joining us.
You bet.
Please remind us of your company.
Southwestern Interiors, Dallas, Texas.
Southwestern. What do you guys do? Hookers and blow?
Yeah. Just hookers and blow and a little bit of flooring, weed. Yeah.
So flooring, Texas, Dallas, job done.
If you're a home builder, look them up.
Yeah, look them up. Beautiful. Zabo, as always, thank you so much. The Zeke Elliott of podcasting.
Hey, good to be here.
My man, wearing green as well. Thank you, Chopper. Thank you, Bob. Listeners out there, if you have any questions, comments, anything you want to, you know, throw our way, email us podcast@glorifieddonkey.com. Please make sure and check out Glorified Donkey on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with a nice update on Big Tony's trip to Southern Hills.
Oh man,
Southern Hills in Tulsa.
Yeah. This is a duck caddy. This is like
a
freshman caddy. From here, that went 2,000 miles to go and carry for some duck golf.
Drove 2,000 miles.
He drove out there.
Yeah.
I did speak to him.
Is he on his way back?
He's back now.
Oh, he's back now. Good.
So
good.
He cannot wait to talk about his experience out there. So
great.
We'll have Big Tony on in a couple of weeks. So many thanks for listening. Check out the website, glorifieddonkey.com. Until we next speak to you. Actually, no, before we do that, share the podcast. Rate it, review it. And until next time, enjoy your golf, but more importantly, keep it humble.